Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined in the studio by finance presenter JP Ong and on the phone by Jeff Howie, strategic market analyst from the SGX. It has been a packed week as far as geopolitical news is concerned, as far as market movements, both global and in Singapore, is concerned. And right now, just for the record, the SDI is down slightly to 2,541 points, which is still pretty amazing. It is well above that 2,500 psychological mark right. That we always talk about.
Yeah, and I think that's what matters at the moment. We're in the clear when it comes to 2,500. And, you know, we are also coming off of four straight days of gains. And there were signs that this four-day rally that started earlier this week was starting to peter out. We saw these intraday gains start to narrow slowly but surely. We thought that the markets were going to close, or the SDI was going to close in the red yesterday. But then we saw that late afternoon comeback that actually pushed it slightly into the green. So again, don't take these slight tremors, at least today, that have pulled the SDI just a touch lower too much heart. We are coming off of a pretty solid last four trading days. It's just that, you know, value turnover continues to remain a bit indecisive today. About 362 million Singapore dollars in total trades have changed hands so far. And markets do have a little bit of support, actually, or are taking, or perhaps just taking more faith again that there could be a fiscal stimulus on the way in the U.S. Now, earlier this week, just to remind our listeners, we did get a bit of a scare when U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted that he would like to suspend stimulus talks until at least after the U.S. elections. But he did say that he was open to piecemeal deals. Now, we are hearing that though House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is open to negotiating a broader package, it seems that U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has said, yes, we are also interested in a broader package. So look, the possibility of a fiscal stimulus plan until before the November elections is still very much there. But again, there's still a lot for both sides to iron out and a lot of horse trading and haggling for the most part. Nevertheless, it is supporting markets across the rest of the Asia Pacific and just giving just a little bit of oomph for certain places. The Nikkei 225, though, not among those. The Tokyo benchmark is down by about 82 points. The ASX 200 looking flat today, at about 6,102 points, unchanged. But again, the ASX 200 also coming off of a very strong week where it cleared 6,000 and also taking some strength from that federal budget that was outlaid by out in Canberra. Taiwanese markets are going to be offline today, and so is the South Korean KOSPI in observance of respective holidays. But the news has to also be coming from mainland Chinese markets, which have come back online after that lengthy Golden Week holiday, and they've come back with a vengeance. The Shanghai Composite's up by 1.6% in today's session. Take a look at the Shenzhen Bourse jumping by 3.2%. The Hang Seng, though, just a little bit wobbly today. In fact, in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng's trading about 43 points in the red. There are concerns that there are rising COVID-19 infections once again in the territory, which and folks are waiting to see if the government will be forced, at least, or will be compelled to introduce new social restriction measures out there. So again, a bit topsy-turvy for Hong Kong markets. I do think that the place to look right now to see the China impact at the moment is also in the currency space. The U.S. dollar has softened for the most part, and we're seeing that the Chinese yuan today, at least onshore, has strengthened to 6.71. This after the PBOC, or the central bank in China, decided to fix the Chinese yuan a little bit stronger in today's session. And they are also taking a lot of strength from that Golden Week holiday and also the resumption of markets. And keep in mind that whenever the Chinese yuan strengthens, there is a slight positive correlation that could also bolster the Singapore dollar. Currently, USD/SGD is trading about 1.35 to the greenback. And also this coming just a couple of days before the MAS unveils their next policy statement next week. And folks are expecting that there will be minimal, any change on the part of the MAS, which could also bolster the Sing dollar moving forward. So the current currency space, also very interesting to watch out for. But overall, I'd say this was a pretty decent day, week at least, for the SGX, notwithstanding these very slight inching downward, at least by the STI.
Jeff, I mean, wherever you turn in the global arena, there has been news that has impacted markets, both in their own countries as well as broader than that, especially in the US and in Europe. What do you think we should be focusing on?
Well, I think some of the bigger news was on the vaccine front. Mm-hmm. Remember, so The World Health Organization have a main plan. There's about 170 vaccine candidates that are under development, and 26 of them are in the human trial phase. And I think it was Tuesday night, the WHO Director General stated that a vaccine for COVID-19 may be ready by year end, on a very hopeful note. And, you know, they've obviously got the role to help facilitate, make sure the world gets access and distribution of it across all the different countries. So that was a pretty important part, that the fact that the fiscal stimulus talk keeps continuing. Obviously, the Republicans are short of the $2 trillion mark. The Democrats are above it. Interesting, because this is we're going into a U.S. election too, and history shows that basically the markets do like a divided Congress. Basically, regardless of the winner coming into this U.S. election, markets have been more assured, less volatile when one party does not dominate both the House and the Senate. And I think, it was a research from Bloomberg and LPL, I think back in 2018, it showed S&P 500 had better performances for the preceding 70 years when Congress was split somewhat. But obviously also a lot of focus on China. And we've been looking over the course of the week, a lot of stocks that have kind of turned in the market in the third quarter, as well as stocks this week that do have significant China exposures, have fared pretty well. And Jardine Matheson and Jardine Strategic have both led the STI this week. I think Jardine Matheson this week's up around 7% and Jardine Strategic up just short of 5%. So obviously that's been a big driver. And Astra International as well in Indonesia has been performing pretty well this week as well. So on two fronts, the Jardine conglomerates have been leading the STI basically because of the China and the Astra news. And then also you've got Sats as well that's up near 6% this week. And look, we've got plenty of good things, important things going on here at home as well, not just in the US. Remember that the Ministry of Manpower reported this week we've got, I think, 33,000 job seekers now into the jobs, traineeship and training campaign under United Jobs and Skills as of the end of August. And if you look across the sectors that those job seekers and workers are being placed into, it covers a lot of these services, communications, food services, professional, healthcare, finance, etc., that are really important sectors for Singapore as well going forward for trade and investment. It's going to be just as busy next week, just as busy. Before we've got our third quarter preliminary GDP on the 14th and the MAS policy results on the 14th as well, we've got IMF updating on the 13th of October as well. It's World Economic Outlook. And remember, that World Economic Outlook's got the world declining just under 5% in 2020, with our service-orientated advanced economies leading the decline, given the emphasis on services, expected to decline 8% this year. And then the next morning, we're going to get an update as well on our GDP numbers. We had our worst decline in the Republic's history last quarter, down 13%, which was on the back of those very stringent circuit breaker measures. We've been in the reopening phase since 19th June, so we expect GDP to see a decline in the slowdown, a decline in the pace of the slowdown. So I think consensus estimates are now got GDP growth declining 6% year on year in the third quarter, to set down 7% year on year in the third quarter, but still gaining 30% from the previous quarter. So, and also a heap of numbers as well we've had over the past few weeks here in Singapore that have basically given us some more indication that we are seeing a gradual recovery here in Singapore, albeit one that's uneven, with obviously very different operating conditions for segments like transportation as opposed to tech, information and communications and so forth.
But even in transportation, there are countries that are adding countries to their green lanes, even though it isn't a tourist travel yet and recreational travel. That in and of itself does give the airline industry a little bit more to look forward to. And now with the cruise lines also being able to do their cruises to nowhere kind of sort of thing, at least it's a bit of a, I won't say boost because that's a too big of a word, but it does give them something to look forward to.
I'd liken it to one engine out of eight that's being reactivated at least. But I think moreover, just touching on what Jeff pointed out, as SATs doing quite well, is also that we did get an update from government officials that they are going to be extending some of the support measures for certain sectors such as aerospace, which will extend beyond the new year. And I think that's also just giving these companies and these sectors a bit more of a reason to sigh in relief. Keep in mind that today also that's been announced that they are going to extend some support measures as well for the property developers and the related construction firms. So this is another sector that could also be getting just a little bit more slack from government officials and from support. They're going to be extending these also, but also goes to show just how uneven and how uncertain things are with regards to how long it's going to last. We're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, that is, and its impact on these sectors.
Well, that impact is going to continue into next year. That's given, even if we do get a vaccine at the end of the year, because it's still going to take time to get that vaccine out to enough of us for it to actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so much of the stock market returns are sector driven. Like I was saying, the transportation sector has been, pretty much in many instances decimated across the world. I mean, we only just have to look at the news that's coming across the causeway now on the national carrier there. That's been out in the news today. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together, obviously, from a country perspective. But many of the sector returns are so correlated. It's interesting when you look at our banking sector, for instance. All year, this big 40% cornerstone of the Straits Times Index has been very strongly correlated to whatever's been happening in the world's biggest banks. We've got obviously some of the world's most safest banks that in terms of tier one capital and so forth, that do obviously rate highly in those type of rating associations that make those publications about safe banks and strong banks and so forth. But the return of the STI is so highly correlated to the banks, and the banks in turn have been so highly correlated to global banks that have all faced the same challenges. Basically you've got our banks down 20%, you've got global banks down 20%, and hence the STI down 20%. But at the same time, the market is so much broader what we have here beyond these three banks. Yes, it's a large part of the market value and the daily turnover, but we've also seen a lot of technology stocks, a lot of healthcare stocks have a lot of interest for short-term active traders throughout the year. But what we are seeing in the turn of this quarter is a lot more wider scope for investing. We're seeing other stocks that have really performed pretty well this week are in sectors that hadn't performed so well. The likes of Lianbeng Group, the real estate company, and you're seeing, I think the chair of Lianbeng Group, chairman and managing director, Mr. Ong, basically just this last week bought about $500,000 worth of the stock, and it was about $500,000, and then that followed acquisitions of about half that amount in the week prior. HR Net Group has performed pretty well this week. You got China Aviation Oil, Hongliang Asia. So not just the consumer staples, not just the tech, not just the health. In this very early signs of the quarter, we're seeing a lot more trading, a lot across the market.
Right, and just picking up on China Aviation Oil, they also probably got a bit of a boost because of the Golden Week holiday. A lot of Chinese folks, I think it was estimated hundreds of millions of Chinese citizens traveling during that period, and a lot of them also partaking in domestic travel. Now, you talk about a boost. I mean, Chinese airlines have probably gotten more of that also because of the revival of the domestic market. Now, the preliminary numbers from the Golden Week holiday show a significant decline year on year, but still it's a significant amount of a reanimated economic activity out in mainland China. China that could also further the belief or the play that China's economy or the world's second largest economy might be on the road back upwards. Now, a lot will also depend the next couple of days, and we'll have to track whether or not COVID-19 cases there are rising with all of that migrate across intra-country migration and movement. If it's shown that the cases don't rise significantly, then maybe China does have a handle on the COVID-19 pandemic. At least one of the major economic engines in the world might actually be able to rev up and thus provide a boost to the rest of these other economies that are related to it, including here in Singapore.
Including the stocks. Yeah, sorry, Clarissa.
No, one of the things that I was going to say was one of the big purchasers that the Chinese buy during Golden Week is property. This is historical. I'm wondering when we'll find out if that happened this year.
Well, you can take a look at Evergrande's story today, actually. It's very interesting because they actually were able to achieve about 70% of their sales target. A lot of that actually happened in the last 2 months, but they had to do it at these steep discounts, actually, which is why Evergrande's shares out in China are trading lower today because, yes, they seem to be on track to hit their sales target, but they had to sacrifice a lot of margin and offer a lot of steep discounts to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was a lot of activity and a lot of buying in mainly among Chinese property buyers, but again, at what
profit
cost?
Margin, yeah.
Exactly.
All right. What were you going to say, Jeff?
Look, that economy of China, it has shown some pretty remarkable stats. I mean, I think it was the first 8 months of the year that its industrial production actually grew 0.4% from the same period of 2019, which in the face of all the challenges is pretty strong. But we'll know more. I think 19 October is when the GDP growth numbers are expected to come out. And I think estimates are still for 5% year-on-year growth for the quarter, which has, I guess, resonated somewhat into our stock market. You look at Hutchport Trust listed here in Singapore. Since the STI high of 2839 back on 9 June, it's up around 18% in total return. And then Yangtze Jiang Shipbuilding is down around 4%. Hutchport now reports, I think, 70% of its revenue to China and 30% from Hong Kong, which is very different to that 50-50 split about 10 years ago or so. And it was one of the strong stocks in the third quarter of this year as well here in Singapore, with net institutional inflow as well of around $5 million. Quite interesting that 5-year term loan facility is also due to expire, I think, in March 2021. So, plenty of crosswinds we're getting here on our China stocks as well.
Well, it's definitely going to be a very interesting week going into next week. I mean, first and foremost, off the top of my head, is will there or will there not be a second debate? Just because President Trump said no today doesn't mean tomorrow will be the same answer.
And I just want to quickly add also, next week we're going to start to see earnings season in the U.S. pick up, and the banks are again in focus. And they will set the barometer and set the tone as to whether or not the effects of COVID-19 on the banking sector there will persist. As Jeff mentioned a while ago, it seems that the banks here are also taking their lead against global major banks. And we'll see if this can give us any context as to how our banks might also perform moving forward, if there is that link.
Well, like I said, lots to look forward to. And I guarantee you, we will have our eyes on it and bring you the latest news and updates on it on Money FM 89.3. This has been Market View Wrap. I'm Clarissa Montero, along with finance presenter JP Ong, and joined on the phone by Jeff Howie from the SGX.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.